सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। Welcome back, everyone, and welcome also to the many who are watching the class later online. We'll begin with our first verse, and you can listen and repeat. Kakhalunalankriyate, drishta drishtartha sadhana patiyan. Drishta-drishtartha-sadhana-patiyan Amuya-kanta-sthitaya Prashnotara-ratna-malikaya. And we chant the verses we saw last time. Kim-sadhyam bhutahitam Priyancha kim pranina asavaha konartha phalaha manaha kasukhada Sadhu jana maitri Sarva vyasana vinashe ko dakshaha Sarvadatyagi Kim maranam murkhatvam Kincha anargham, yadavasare dattam, amaranat kim shalyam, prachannam yat kritam papam, Kutra videyo yatnaha Vidyabhyase sadaushade dane Avadhiranakva karya Khala parayoshit paradhaneshu Kaharnisham anuchintya Samsara sarata natu pramada Ka preyasi vidheya Karuna dineshu sajjane maitri. So we saw till here last time. What is to be ka preyasi vidheya? I think I'm getting a little bit of an echo. Can you hear me okay at the back?
Little louder.
Okay, we'll try that. So ka preyasi vidheya. What is to be cultivated with love? Karuna dineshu, compassion towards those who are less fortunate. Anything?
The same?
Yeah, I'm just reviewing last verse of the last class. Compassion towards those who are less fortunate than us, and sajjane maitri, friendship towards good people. And this satsanga theme we've seen many times in many verses already. Kantagatairapya subihi kasya, kanthagatairapya subhi kasya hi atmana shakyate jetum hi atmana shakyate jetum murkhasya shankitasya cha murkhasya shankitasya cha vishadino va krutagnyasya vishadino va krutagnyasya. So the next verse is saying kanthagatai api asubhi kasya kasya for whom asubhi kanthagatai api even when the asu means breath so asu api even when the breath has reached the kantha throat has reached the throat what does that mean even if you were one were to come to the end of life so even where if one were to give up one's life atma na shakyate jetum na shakyate kasya na shakyate for whom is it not possible to win or to be conquered to conquer what atma who hi atma na shakyate jetum for whom is it difficult to gain mastery of the self and we'll talk about the self. So he describes three kinds of people in the answer. Murkhasya, murkha, fool, for the one who is a fool. Fool, you know, we use fool in a very derogatory manner. And here fool is really referring to one who refuses to learn, one who doesn't want to learn. For the one who doesn't want to learn, shankitasya, for the one who is, shanka means doubt, for the one who doubts himself and doubts others. You've heard of the doubting Thomas. I know when I was a kid, we heard a story about that. For somebody who's cynical, constantly doubting. Vishadinaha cha, and vishadinaha is one who is always sad. Or one who is a pessimist. So for the murkha, for the fool, for the doubting Thomas, and for the one who is a pessimist, va akritagnyasya. In the PDF, there's a typo. It's written va kritagnyasya. The word should be joined. Va akritagnyasya. Big difference. Kritagnyasya, akritagnyasya is for the one who does not accept help. Who does not want others to do anything for him, or who is ungrateful. And it refers to one who does not appreciate spiritual growth. So such people, murkhasya, shankitasya, vishadinaha, and akritagnyasya, such people cannot gain self-mastery. And this, the word self can refer to at two levels. So one, at the level of Sachidananda Atma, the self with a capital S. Obviously, if somebody is not inclined to pursue the highest truth, they're going to not be able to quote-unquote master themselves. But it can also be taken at a worldly level. If you refuse to better yourself, if you refuse to learn constantly, or if you are constantly cynical, constantly doubting your capacities and others' capacities, or if you're pessimistic or depressed. Obviously, somebody who has sadness and as a mental illness, depression as a mental illness, Vedanta is not going to take it away. It can help you cope with it, but you have to first get help for dealing with that depression. So if you are unable, if you are pessimistic or sad, or akritagnyasi, or if you are unable to see the blessings that we already have in our life. At a worldly level, if you're unable to learn or see the blessings that you have in your life, how can we succeed? How do we move forward? How can we can't gain mastery of our little self, what to talk about the capital big self. Kasaduhu, sadvritaha, Kamadhamam achakshate. Kamadhamam achakshate. Tu asad vrittam. Tu asad vrittam. So kaha sadhu. Sadhu is a, it refers to a sadhu in Hindi. Many times refers to a person in an orange robe. But here in Sanskrit, sadhu can just mean a good person. Many meanings of sadhu, but it could just mean who is a sadhu, who is a good person. And a sadhu is one whose life is committed, life and activities are committed for towards to dharma and to help others. We saw in a prior verses, Bhuta Hitani, for the welfare, one who works for the welfare of everyone else. And who is a sadhu? Here it says, Sat Vritaha. Sat means good, true, or proper, and Vritaha means conduct or attitude. So one whose attitude, one whose conduct is good, such a person is defined as called a sadhu. Kam adhamam achakshate. Kam achakshate. Who is said or declared to be adhamam? Adhamam means lowly. Lowly obviously is not referring here to the caste system at all. Not even referring to your position on the worldly ladder. Which rung you are on the worldly ladder, how much you have achieved or not. Here, lowly means lowest on the spirit, on the level of spiritual, in the context of spiritual maturity. Who is said to be lowly? Tu asatvrittaha. We saw satvrittaha in the first half of the verse. Asatvrittaha, the one who whose conduct or whose attitude or actions are asat, adharmic. So, kam adhamam, such people are considered to be lowest on the spiritual ladder. Kena jitam jagadetat, kena jitam jagadetat, satyatitikshavata pumsa, satyatitikshavata pumsa. Etat jagat, this world, etat jagat, Kena jitam, by whom is it won? Who is it conquered by? Who has mastery over himself and thus can master the world? And it implies who has resilience or who has tolerance to handle the ups and downs that life throws at us. And the key word is without complaining, though the word is not mentioned here. I'll talk about it in a little bit. So who has mastery over himself and who can handle, bear or tolerate the ups and downs of life, the difficulties that come in life? And the answer is satya titikshavata pumsa pumsa, a person who is Satya titikshavata, who satya means truth, who speaks the truth, and who has titiksha. Titiksha means self-control, forbearance, patience, endurance. Endurance and patience to accept pairs of opposites and accept them in a very objective way. And there's a verse in Viveka Chudamani which defines what titiksha is. This verse 24 from Viveka Chudamani, it says, Sahanam sarva dukhanam apritikara purvakam. So sahanam, tolerating or bearing, purvakam, in the end of the first line, the big compound word, purvakam, in the midst of or amidst. Amidst what? Going to the first part of the word, sarva dukhanam. Amidst all sorrows, all ups and downs of life, all challenges, and in other word, apritikaram, without resisting. So sahanam, tolerating or enduring all the ups and downs of life, all the difficulties we face in life. When I say ups and downs, up means the joys. Most of us don't have a problem facing the good times in life, we are looking forward to it, but it's the downs in life that we are bogged down by. So sahanam sarva dukhanam apritikara purvakam. So titiksha is the bearing or tolerating of all sorrows in the midst, while going through them, enduring them without resisting. Chinta vilapa rahitam. So that chinta vilapa rahitam. Rahitam meaning without or devoid of. Devoid of what? Chinta, worry. And vilapa, lamenting or complaining. And most of us, when we are going through a challenging time in our life, what is the one thing that predominates in our mind? The one thing is worry. We are, and many of us do this, we are already, I've heard Swami Paramarthanandaji give this example. So if you go for a doctor's, if you go for a medical exam, and the doctor finds, you know, you're just going for a routine checkup, and the doctor finds some color on your skin has changed, and the doctor suggests go for a biopsy. The word biopsy triggers this whole series of events. It's just a normal biopsy is what? They take a piece of tissue, look at it under the microscope. But the doctor has said go for a biopsy. When you come home, What are you thinking? The biopsy is taken. It's going to be cancerous. It's going to be stage 4. I'm going to die. I have only X amount of months to live. Or the biopsy is going to be positive. I have to go through all this treatment. I'm going to be miserable. So that chinta, the worry, is... it's amazing how quickly that predominates. So instead of being an objective person would say, okay, the doctor wants me to go for a biopsy. I go for a biopsy. Let me wait till the results come before I start worrying. Most of us don't do that, right? But it's just training of the mind. It's just for us to learn to train our minds in how to handle a difficulty that's come suddenly in our lives. So that is the chinta, and vilapa is complaining or lamenting. Sa titiksha nigadyate. So that sahanam, that bearing or that endurance is called titiksha. Titiksha nigadyate. And Lord Krishna explains this further in the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, verse 14 in chapter 2. Matra sparishastu. You can repeat. This is a very important verse. So I like to chant important verses so that hopefully it will go in somehow and get memorized. Don't guarantee that happens. Matra sparishastu Kaunteya. Matra sparishastu Kaunteya. Shitoshna sukha dukkhadaha. Shitoshna sukha dukkhadaha. Agamapayino nityaha. Agamapayino nityaha. Tanstitikshasva bharata. Tanstitikshasva bharata. So this is very early in the Bhagavad Gita when Arjuna has had his emotional meltdown because he has to deal with this impending battle of having to kill so many people, of engaging in activities that, according to Arjuna, at this time, at this point in the Bhagavad Gita, he thinks it is adharmic. So in chapter 1, he finds all kinds of excuses to not want to fight the war. But then he tells in the beginning of chapter 2, I am confused. He tells Krishna, I am confused. Please teach me. And Krishna says, Kaunteya, O son of Kunti, Arjuna, tu matra sparshaha tu. The sparsha, contact of sparshaha, the sense organs, with what? With matraha, the sense objects of the senses, the material world. What happens? Shitoshna sukha dukha daha. Daha, they are the giver. So when the senses come in touch with the sense objects, with the material world, they give what? Shita, Ushna, Sukham, Dukham. Shita means cold, Ushnam, hot, heat, Sukha and Dukha, happiness and sorrow. Excuse me. Agama, Apayinaha. Agama, these sensations of heat, cold, happiness and sorrow, agama come, and apayinaha, they disappear. They appear and they disappear. And they are anityaha, they are impermanent or fleeting. Tan titikshasva Bharata, O son of Bharata, O Arjuna, tan titikshasva, endure them, learn to endure them. And it's very significant to say that they are impermanent or fleeting, anityaha. Heat and cold. We've seen the really cold weather these past few weeks. We know it's going to be impermanent unless there's a catastrophic climate change happen and we are all, pushed into this deep, deep frigidity, which is not going to happen. So he says, tan titikshasva, learn to endure them. So how do we endure cold and heat, especially in the winter? Obvious things, wear warm clothing, turn your heat up. This is something I have started doing. I had started doing a few years back in the winter time. There was one, I think when Sandy hit, we had lost power at the ashram. And I know many of you came to help. But I don't know, did we have generators at that time? I don't remember. But we couldn't use anything. And, you know, we were dressed in 5 layers of clothing. After that, every time I go to turn up the heat in the morning, I say a prayer of gratitude. Thank you. I have this heat and I'm not shivering. I have clothes, we have a house. So this is something that you can learn to develop, is an attitude of gratitude. And how else can you endure these fluctuations in the external world? So the heat and cold refer to the external world over which we have no control. Weather, no control. Spouses, children, also no control. How do we endure them? By practice of yoga, meditation, and ultimately through knowledge. Ultimately recognizing that this external world, heat, cold, are impermanent. And they affect the body. Thank God they don't affect me, Atma. So recognizing or gaining that knowledge of Atma being Nitya, always present, we can learn to endure these external challenges. But how about Sukham and Dukham? Sukham and Dukham, even though you might blame the external world for your sorrow and happiness, Sukham and Dukham are states of our mind. They are internal to us. So however much you blame the outside world, the sorrow or the happiness you feel is within you. So how do we endure titiksha? How do we get endurance towards internal challenges that get thrown at us? Again, practice of yoga, meditation, but ultimately through the knowledge, ultimately recognizing that sorrow and happiness are also as impermanent as that heat and cold. And nothing can touch me. Thank God, heat and cold, happiness and sorrow do not affect me as Atma. So nothing, the ups and downs of life do not affect, they affect the body, mind and our senses, but they do not affect me. There is a story, and many of you might have heard Pooja Swamiji say the story for those. It's just a very nice story that connects here. So I'll repeat it, and for those who've heard it before, you can still enjoy it. So there is this couple who are traveling in a train. This is many years ago. Many years ago, before the advent of bottled water, when in India, of course, you have to imagine this in India, you would either have to carry a cooler of water, and we would do that when we were traveling in by train because, you know, in the middle of the night, if you need water, you just take a cooler, you carry a jug of water, jug, you know, a proper device, instrument. But many times, and what happens if you're going on a journey which is like two nights or three nights long? You have to, you can't carry that much water with you to last, especially if a family is traveling. You can't carry that much water with you for the entire journey. So you have to get down at a station wherever the train stops and fill your cooler. And then you use it till the next station. So there was this couple who were traveling in the train. And the woman, the water they carried was over. So the woman was complaining to her husband, "I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty, I'm so thirsty." So the husband told her, "Yeah, we'll wait till the next." He can't do anything, right? He said, "Wait till the next station." And when the next station came, he goes down to the station, fills the cup, fills the cooler of water, brings it to her. She drinks the water. And instead of being grateful, what does she do? She keeps saying, "I was so thirsty, I was so thirsty." So she's still complaining. Even after the event, the sukha dukkham is over. So this is what, do you know anybody who is constantly complaining and not being able, I can see some people nodding their heads. You don't have to tell me who you're complaining, who is constant. Maybe you're constantly complaining about them. It's sad. If we are constantly complaining, we are not able to see the blessings that we already have. Yes, agreed, we have lots of things in our life that aren't going the way we want them to. And there's a lot of things we can complain about. Complain about the weather, complain about politics, complain about your neighbor. A zillion things we can complain about. But if we keep looking at that, looking at life through the complaining lens, we failed to acknowledge the million, zillion things that we already have that we can be grateful for. So this is trying to shift our attitude through these teachings so that we can grow spiritually. So titiksha is enduring without complaining. Kasmai namamsi, kasmai namamsi, devaha kurvanti, devaha kurvanti, daya pradanaya, kasmat udvegasyat, kasmat udvegasyat, samsara aranyatas sudhi yaha. Samsara aranyata sudhiyaha. So kasmai namamsi devaha kurvanti. Devaha, the gods or the devas, kurvanti. What do they do? Kasmai namamsi. Who do they, kasmai, to whom do they offer their namaskara? Namamsi, who do they pay homage to? And the answer is daya pradanaya. The one, they praise the devas, even the gods praise the ones who show daya, who offer compassion, who extend help. And it's interesting, you know, sometimes people, I've heard people say, you know, people give excuses. I don't have a compassionate bone in me. I cannot be kind. I cannot. I don't think many people say, but some people do think that they don't, they are not capable of compassion. And actually the science is proving that compassion can be developed. There's a lot of research in neuroscience and psychology saying that compassion and even resilience, that titiksha, is a skill that can be developed through specific training. And they found, there were several studies that were conducted. I'm just going to mention what the findings were. Many times when you see somebody, when somebody comes and talks to you about a difficult situation in their life, you can empathize with them. If you're like most people who are normal, you can empathize, you can give a listening, lend a listening ear, and that's great. But researchers found that, this is what they call empathy training, merely feeling another's pain can lead to burnout. And especially if you are a caregiver for someone, anybody who's been a caregiver for an extended period of time, there is something called caregiver fatigue and caregiver burnout, which is a real thing. But in contrast, the research found that compassion training, meaning cultivating benevolence or sense of goodwill, it strengthened a different part of the brain network that was associated with positive affect and reward, and suggests that compassion training can build resilience, can build tatiksha. And what another study showed that adults who practiced compassion meditation, this compassion meditation is very big among Buddhist practices, Buddhist meditation practices. So adults who practiced this compassion meditation for just 2 weeks, 30 minutes a day, were more likely to give money to a stranger who was in need compared to a control group who did not do this meditation. And nowadays, there are formal training programs. You've heard of mindful-based stress reduction, MBSR, or mindful-based cognitive training techniques. There is a mindful-based compassion cultivation training, a CCT program for 8 to 10 weeks that you can undertake in particular to develop the skill of compassion. And that's what he's saying, Daya Pradanaya, the one who is compassionate, even the gods offer homage to them. Kasmat udvegaha syat. Kasmat, from what? Udvegaha. Udvega means disturbance or agitation. Udvegaha syat. So what should one be wary of? From what is agitation? From what should one be wary? What is the translation? What should be shuddered at? And the next answer is samsara aranyataha sudhiya. Sudhiyaha, the wise ones, the discerning ones. Literally, sudhiya means, su means good and dhi means mind. So the good-minded person. Samsara aranyataha shudders or is wary of aranyata, aranyam, forest of samsara. They shudder at the forest of samsara. We've seen the word samsara, life of becoming. And the use of the word forest, aranyata, implies... So forest is not scattered trees, right? It's a very dense thicket, a dense collection of trees. And that signifies our denseness of samsara, our denseness, dense collection of our life of strife, of our life of becoming. In Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th verse, the first verse of the 15th chapter, Sri Krishna describes an upside-down tree to describe this complexity of the samsara of the material world. And he says, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Urdhva Moolamadashakam, Ashvatham Prahuravyayam. It is said, Prahu Avyayam, Prahuhu, it is said, Urdhva Moolam, Adhashakam, this tree, so you have to imagine an upside down tree. The tree has its roots upwards, and the roots symbolize eternal or limitless Brahman. Its branches are going downwards. It took me a while to picture this, and I'm not very visual, so if it's taking, I know some of you might have the same problem, so you can, when you go home, just, there are a lot of pictures of this on the internet. Its branches are going downwards and branching out. It symbolizes our outward pursuit, our ahankara, our ego, which is trying to get happiness through all these outward pursuits. Chandamsi yasya parnani. Parnani, the one, yasya parna, the one who knows. Yasya chandamsi, who knows? Chandas here means Vedas. Ones who know the Vedas, Yahatam Veda Savedavit. The one who knows the Vedas knows this, knows which. The leaves of the Veda, the leaves of the trees are compared to the Vedas, to the Chandas. So the knower of the Vedas, Vedas here in the verse, it means the Purva Kanda, the Vedic rituals. But in the very few verses later, maybe verse two verses later, Sri Krishna points out that once you recognize that you are lost in this forest of samsara, you don't need to continuously be wandering there. You don't need to be stuck in the forest forever. You can cut your way out of this forest. And he says, how do you cut your way out of this forest? With an axe. With the axe of detachment. With the axe of knowledge. So that's the verse connecting this forest. So whether you are wise, sudhiyaha, whether you're a wise person or you're otherwise, this is Pooja Swamiji's joke again, we can know that the samsara is like a forest, and we can get out of it through these teachings. Kasya vashe prani ganaha kasya satya priya bhashino vinitasya. Kvasthatavyam nyaye pathi drishta labhadaye. Nyaye pathi drishta labhadaye. So kasya vashe prani ganaha. Vasham means control. Under whose control? Kasya, under whose control? Praniganaha are all creatures. Who can command all people effectively? And the answer is not the president of the country or not the prime minister, not your spouse. In some limited sense, maybe your spouse can control you. Maybe your children can control you. But the answer is satya priya bhashinaha. Bhashinaha, the one whose words or speech are what? Satya and priya. Satya means truthful and kind, and priya is pleasing or kind. And vinitasya is somebody who is humble. So who can command all people effectively? One who speaks the truth, one who speaks kindly, and one who is humble. And such a person attracts others. It's kind of obvious, right? We want to hang out with people who are kind, who speak the truth, and who are humble. Nobody wants to hang out with an arrogant, you fill in the blank. Another word we can add is to the satya, priya, and bhashina, and vinita, we can add the word mitam. Mitam means measured. So somebody, brevity or measured. Before we open our mouth, we can learn to ask the question, is it necessary? Is it important? Is it necessary for me to talk right now? And if you say yes, ask another question. How much is necessary? Most of us don't have these filters. We have these filters. We don't use them often enough. And Benjamin Franklin is quoted to have said, remember not only to say the right thing in the right place, but it's far more important to leave unsaid the wrong thing at the tempting moment. So brevity is very important. It doesn't mean you have to be maunam when you're in a conversation with somebody, you know, don't engage, you engage. But we can better ourselves by asking these questions before we speak. And actually, that goes in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 15, Sri Krishna defines tapas. What is sattvika tapas? We saw in the last class what was sattvika tapas, what is the highest form of austerity of speech. Here he talks, This verse is the Sattvika. No, this verse is just talking about what, talking about how one should speak. And again, this verse is very nice verse. Very nice in the sense it has a lot of application for us. So we'll repeat after me. Anudvegakaram vakyam, anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam priyahitanchayat, satyam priyahitanchayat, swadhyayabhyasanam chaiva, swadhyayabhyasanam chaiva, vangmayam tapa uchyate, vangmayam tapa uchyate. So anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam priyam priyahatam cha yat. Yat vakyam, those words or that speech, that is anudvegakaram. Anudvega, we saw, I think the, was it there, in the prior verse, was udvega causes disturbance or agitation. Anudvegakaram, that which does not cause agitation or hurt. Satyam, the word is there in our text, truthful. Priyahitam, pleasant and beneficial. We saw the word beneficial, hitam, in prior verses. And then he adds swadhyaya, abhyasanam cha eva. Swadhyaya means study. Swadhyaya and abhyasanam, study and practice of the scriptures. Vangmayam tapa uchyate. It is said, uchyate, vangmayam tapaha. It is said to be the practice or the austerity of vangmayam, voice and speech. And to just translate it into English, this is something that a teacher of mine told me when I was, I think, in high school, told me or told the class. If we think of the four W's and the two H's, what are the four W's? What? Every time we open our mouth to speak, if we think of the four W's and the two H's, what are the four W's? What? Is it true? Satyam. Example, if you go to meet somebody who is terminally ill and that person knows they don't have much to long to live and you tell them, hey, you're going to die, it's the truth, does it help? So what is it true? Just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. It has to go with all the other W's. The second W, why? Is it beneficial? Is it hitam? Am I speaking to help somebody else, to help the other person, or am I speaking to prove myself correct? So why? Is it beneficial? Is it hitam? Third W, when? Is it the right time? And this, unfortunately, many people do a lot of in families. When someone is angry and you tell them at that time, hey, don't be angry, they're going to get more angry. One, when you tell somebody don't be angry in that moment of emotional turmoil, first, nothing is going to go into their heads, right? Because their head is full of their anger. Angry emotion. They're not going to hear what you're saying. So when is it the right time? If somebody is angry, let him or her vent. And then when the time is appropriate, you can approach them. Of course, when somebody is angry, you have to learn to draw the line, boundary for yourself, not to be at the receiving end all the time of that person's anger. And that's another topic we'll discuss another time. The fourth W, whom? Who is the right person? That is, whoever you're talking to must be ready to hear you. You can't just go to the street and pull somebody on the road and say, hey, I just learned this satyam, hitam, priyam. Let me tell you about it. They're not the right person. Another question you can ask, were you asked? Did somebody ask you to tell or to speak? This, and so these are the four W's. What, why, when, whom, and the two H's is how. How do you speak? Is it kind? Is it priyam? Is it Anudvegakaram, does it not cause as agitation or hurt? And how much we saw in the last part, mitam, measured. You probably all attended a meeting at work where one person in the group goes on, if the meeting coordinator is not very skilled, one person in the group goes on and on and on and on a tangential topic, not even relevant to the meeting. So every time we open our mouth, every time we want, even think, firstly, we don't even think about opening our mouth, right? We don't even think before we are ready to speak. But if by chance you think before you open your mouth, think of these four W's and two H's. If we think about these and make this a practice, a spiritual practice, we'll realize we probably don't have much to say at all, most of the time. And you've all heard the saying, empty vessels make the most noise. So let's try not to be empty vessels in our lives by practicing these four, this satyam, hitam, priyam, mitam. And the second part of this verse, kva sthatavyam. Sthatavyam, kva, where should one remain? Where should one remain? Remain meaning where should one's effort be steadfast, or where should one practice be steadfast? Nyaye pathi, pathin is path, on the right path, on nyaya means justice or right, on the right path, which is drishta adrishta labhadaye, which is the giver of drishtapala, seen results, and unseen results. Basically talking about being on the path of dharma, which brings us beneficial results. Kondaha, kondaha, yokaryataha, yokaryataha, kobadhiraha, kobadhiraha, yohitani nashrunoti, yohitani nashrunoti. Kaha andaha, andaha, who is considered to be blind? Yaha akaryataha, the one yaha, one who akaryataha, the one who does improper actions or adharmic actions, one who takes pleasure in doing what is not to be done. And why is such a person compared to somebody who doesn't have sight? If somebody has had sight and then they lose it, unfortunately, during their lives, many times in the initial stages of adjustment, they're going to be stumbling into things. They're going to, till their brain adapts to this new norm, so they keep bumping into things. Similarly, an adharmic person keeps on doing adharmic activity until he or she understands the significance of dharma, of doing dharma, the significance that doing dharma is in his or her best interests always. So such a person is called andaha. Kaha badhiraha. Badhira, who is considered to be deaf. Yaha na shrunoti hitani. Yaha na shrunoti, the one who does not listen to what? Hitani, to that which is beneficial. The one who does not listen to that which is good. The one who hears about dharma or listens to about dharma, but continues to do adharmic activities. So one who does not, even when he or she is told about dharmic activities, he continues to do adharmic activities, such a person is considered to be deaf. And there is an example in Mahabharata. We've all heard of Duryodhana. Before the battle, Mahabharata war started, many people, including Vidura, the wise uncle, including elders, Bhishma and Drona, and even Sri Krishna, went to Duryodhana to convince him not to fight this war because the war was adharmic. So he was told by many people not to fight the war. And what Duryodhana said was, some of you might have heard it, what he said is actually found in a scripture called the Pandava Gita, and it's adapted to the Mahabharata. Janami dharmam nacha me pravruttihi. Pravruttihi, janami dharmam. I know what is dharma. Nacha me pravritti cha, and me pravritti, for me, there is no inclination to follow it. Na pravritti, there is no inclination to follow it. Janami adharmam nacha me nivritti. Janami adharmam, I know what is adharma. Cha and name nivritihi. I have no inclination to follow it. But then he gives an example. The verse continues. Kenapi devena ridi sthitena. Kenapi devena. By some god or some by some deva, by some force or by some impulse. Ridi sthitena. That is in my heart, residing in my heart. Yatha niyuktaha asmi. I am as though compelled. I act compelled, as though I am commanded. So this was Duryodhana's cop-out, saying that some power in me is not allowing me to do dharma, even though I know dharma, I know fighting this war is adharma, yet I am compelled to do it. So this was Duryodhana's cop-out. How about us? Do we have any such excuses for not doing dharma? Komukaha, yakkale priyani vaktum na janati, yakkale priyani vaktum na janati. Kaha mukaha, who is considered to be mute, yaha priyani vaktum na janati kale. Yaha na janati, the one who does not know what? Vaktum, priyani vaktum, does not know to speak. Here it could be appropriate things at the right time. We saw vaktapas earlier in the earlier slide. There is one who does not know the appropriate thing to be said at the appropriate time. Such a person is considered to be a mute. There is a verse in Niti Shatakam. This is a text by Bhartruhari, which says emphasizes that even a wise man looks like a fool if he speaks out of turn. And the verse says, "Aprapta kalam vachanam." Brihaspatihi api bruvan. So brihaspatihi, even Brihaspati, who is the guru of the gods, bruvan, if he speaks, aprapta kalam vachanam. If he speaks words, aprapta kalam, at the wrong time. Labate buddhehe avagnyanam, he will get labate. Buddhehe avagnyanam. He will, avagnyanam means disrespect of or contempt of what? Of the buddhi, of his intelligence. And he will get apamanam cha. And he will also get disgraced. And for how long? Shashvatam, eternally. So he will get contempt for intelligence and disgrace. So this is talking about Brihaspati, the guru of the gods. What to talk of you and me. So, kahamukaha. So, these last three verses have been talking about comparing how not having a particular sense organ is not in the physical sense of not having such a sense organ, but how it can lead to, it can prevent us to be on the progress of spirit, of the spiritual path. Okay, so that's a good place to stop. sarve bhavantu sukhinaha, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityorma amritangamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Thank you all for coming.